annual associational meeting. And being the new pastor in the area, they invited me to do the closing prayer. But in the midst of that meeting that day, I heard a statistic that moved me, and I'll never forget that statistic. And I'm kind of like, I like statistics. I look at demographics. I look at a lot of different things. And that statistic was that there's 143 million lost people living in the United States of America. And that, I want you to know, gripped me as a 21-year-old, and I want you to know, it moved me. And so when I got up to do the closing prayer that night, I tried not to preach. It's kind of hard. But I got up and I shared, and I looked at the association, and I always highlight those who was leaders in baptisms, and I had highlighted the leaders in baptisms, and the leader of that association at that time I baptized just a little over 20 that year, and I there was a majority of the churches, over half of the churches in the association didn't baptize anybody. As I got up and prayed that night, I said, folks, I want to challenge us as an association, as a new pastor. I said, we can do better than this. We're not even impacting our world where we are. And I said, we can do better. We've got to do better. Now I want to roll the screen to you now to 2008. Right now in America, they say that there's 220 plus million people without Christ in our country. That makes us the third largest lost population of any country in the world. We're soon to be the second largest because of the movement of God in China right now. We're going to hear about China next week from Don Broeker. Because of the movement of God in China and what God is doing there, it may surpass America with believers. That means right now where we live in North America, we have 220 million plus people without a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. 3 out of every 4 people that you come in contact with on a daily basis all across our country are going to die without Christ. Folks, those ought to grip us, and it ought to disturb us. It ought to move us and motivate us. And I want you to know, as I thought about that 21-year-old kid and a young man, and I think about where I'm at now as a 43-year-old man, I want you to know the passion is still there. The theme of the North American Missionary video this year is passion, living with passion, the urgency of carrying the gospel around the world, and the urgency of carrying the gospel to our world is very important. Because the Gospel of John says in John chapter 9 and verses 3 and 4, listen what the Word of God says. John chapter 9, verse 3 and 4. Jesus was talking to his disciples, and they had just asked him his question. They'd said, Lord, who is sin? He was dealing with a blind man. Who is sin? This man who is blind or his mom and dad? Which one sinned? And Jesus said, neither one of them, but it was to bring glory to me at this time and to bring glory to my Father at this time. And then Jesus makes a statement to his disciples and those who are gathered there that I think we need to look at today. He says, we must do the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Jesus talking to his disciples there and dealing with this blind man, he says to them, we must do the work of him who sent me while it is day. I want you to think with me for a little bit today. One of the things that we need in America right now desperately, desperately bad is awakening. We need a spiritual awakening to take place in our country. And we need it desperately, desperately bad. You know, it's been, some say, over 100 years since God's moved across our country in a mighty way. I think it may have been even longer than that. It may be to the prayer revival that took place in 1856. That may be the last time that God moved in a massive way across our country. Let me tell you how that began, how that great awakening began in 1856. It began by one man who was in New York City who decided that at noontime, at lunchtime, that he was going to go to the church and to an upper room in the church, and he was going to pray. He let all the other business people know that, and he went up there to pray at noontime. He spent most of that day by himself during his lunch hour. And finally, at the end of the lunch hour, there was a few others came in. But within a month, the church could not contain the people who were coming to pray at lunchtime. And God began to send a great revival across our country. God began to sweep, and it even affected Michigan and in lower parts of Michigan. I don't know how it affected up here, but in Kalamazoo and some places in the downstate, that God moved in a massive, in a mighty way through the prayer. And it began with one man. It began with one man praying that God would move in our nation. And so you may be one man, you may be one woman, but I want you to know you're very important to God. We need an awakening in our country to the things of God and a mighty movement of God. Let me share with you some disturbing trends. This is from Ed Stetzer, and this is going to be used in small groups this week. But there's been a lot of talk recently about baptisms, how to have more, or who should we baptize, and where these baptisms should take place. It's an important dialogue, yet, despite all the talk, studies show that we have fewer and fewer baptisms each year to discuss. That's disturbing. That's disturbing. The trend and from 2004 to 2005, that the baptism rate went down in every single category except one. And that one was preschoolers. Now, I understand that a preschooler can give their life to Jesus and can be baptized. You know, my children were very young when they came to know Christ as their personal Savior. But folks, that disturbs me that we're not baptizing more children. It disturbs me that we're not baptizing more teenagers. It disturbs me that we're not baptizing more adults in the world in which we live today in our country. This deals with our country. It deals with the United States of America. It deals with where we live right now. That we're not keeping up with the population growth and we're declining every year. Matter of fact, if you take a trend and you go back for several years, maybe even possibly 20 years, in that 20 years, you may see a little bit of a peak a couple of times, but for the overall trend, the baptism rate is continually going down in our country. That ought to disturb us. It ought to disturb us greatly. We need God to move in a great awakening in our country. We sit and discuss last night after the service and over dinner last night, some very disturbing things as we look. And I want you to know, I've traveled our country, and Matt's back here, he's come in from Alaska, but I've traveled our country, and for the most part, I've been from Oregon to Florida, and for the most part, when I go into the churches, there's apathy. There's a lack of concern. I sat in a mega church in Atlanta, Georgia, not long ago, back in November to be exact. I sat in an 8 o'clock worship service with the building completely packed. And I was part of the service, and after I got done my part of the service, I went to the balcony. I went up on the shelf. And when I got up in the balcony and I was watching the service from that portion, I sat up there and I wept. I thought I was at a funeral service rather than a worship service. I thought, my, so what is going on? And then we watched a video our first week of missions about the girl walking past the church and nobody reaching out to speak to her. How many times has that happened all across our land?
all across our land. But I said, it's not happening. There are some bright spots. I also went to another church that night that had about 6,000 people there on a Sunday night, and 30-some-odd people were baptized. That was exciting. That was exciting to see that. And to realize that they baptize every Sunday night, 20 to 30 to 40 people, every Sunday night consistently. That's exciting. God is moving in some pockets, but overall, folks, the church could be established as being full of apathy. As a matter of fact, Thomas Rainer, one of the writers said that the American church can be described as addicted to mediocrity. And so I challenge you today as the Orchard Church not to be addicted to mediocrity, not to be addicted to just being doing as little as you can to get by, or just being mediocre. God wants to raise up a church right here in northern Michigan that will be more than mediocre. He wants to raise up a church that will be more than mediocre. He wants to raise up a church that's going to impact this area, and it's going to impact our nation, and it's going to impact our world today. And folks, God can do it through you. We need an awakening take place. He says, we must do the work of him who sent me while it is day. And folks, this is our day time to work. I laugh at one of my mission teams that came to northern Michigan. They told me when they got here that they wanted to work from sun up to sundown. I said, are you sure? They said, yes. All right. I woke them up at 5:15. They went to bed, and they got done working at 10:30 that night. And after a couple of days of that, they didn't want to work from daylight. Matter of fact, one of the teams that came up to frame my house, they had worked and worked and worked. And we was trying to finish up one night so we could set trusses the next day. And one of the guys looked off of one of the walls upstairs, and he looked down at me and said, does it ever get dark here? I said, yeah, but it'll be a while. Just keep on working, buddy. But no, just kidding. He's a lot bigger than I am. I didn't say that to him. But folks, we need to work while it's day. This is a daylight. There is a night coming. And I don't preach and talk a lot about this because I think it goes to seed on TV and stuff. But I want you to know we're living in the last days. I don't know how much more daylight you and I will have. As a matter of fact, and I'm not going to get too political here, but I want you to know the culture of our country is changing rather quickly. It's changing rather quickly right now, the culture of our country, and I don't know how much longer we'll have the opportunity to do the work that God's given us to do with the freedoms that we have right now. If you want to talk to me more about that, I'll talk to you later. But I just want to say we need to work while it's still day. While it's still daylight outside, we need God to move. And, you know, he says here, after an awakening, we need to have an equipping. We must work the works of him who sent me while it's still day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Now, I want you to think about, Jesus was saying to his disciples, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And there's no doubt that there was no greater light in the world than what Jesus was. There's no doubt. But do you realize that God told us in Matthew that we are the light of the world, that we, you and I, are to be lights? And when God sent his son Jesus to the cross and he died and he rose again the third day, and then when he ascended back into heaven, then on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came that he promised. And the Holy Spirit, when he came, empowered us. And we are his light. He's still in the world today. We are still the church of Jesus Christ, and we are still the light of the world. He's equipped us, and he wants to equip us to go impact our world. And that's one of my jobs as a director of missions for the Northwest Baptist Association. And not only that, but as the interim pastor, or transitional pastor, it's my job to equip you, help equip you while I'm here to go impact your world. That equipping can only come, number one, by the power of the Holy Spirit. I can't replace him, and I know I can't anyway. I didn't have no desire to. but to resource people, to give people what they need to go impact their world. That means if we have a horse ride this year and a trail ride, we're going to have a trail ride for Jesus so we can bring people to Jesus Christ. One of the things that the Orchard Church has done is they sponsored a race day out at Cherry Speedway. And folks, if it's sponsoring a race at Cherry Speedway or Merritt Speedway so we can bring somebody to Jesus Christ, let's sponsor a day at Cherry Speedway so we can bring somebody to Christ. If it means sponsoring a baseball team through the Cory League or something like that, let's sponsor a baseball team for Jesus. We need to do whatever it takes to reach our world. You know, if it means to feed the football team, that can be a fun thing to do. Now, I want you to know, I pastored in Illinois, there in Anna, Illinois, and we had a lousy football team. I mean, they just weren't no good at all. And but yet, there was a lot of kids on there who needed Jesus. And it was kind of neat. They changed coaches one year, and they got a really good coach. It's amazing how a mediocre team or a lousy team can go to a good team almost instantaneously through the coach. They had a good coach, but it was neat because let me tell you who was feeding the football team. The Elks. I don't care if an elk wants to feed a football team, but they weren't eating elk. And the moose. And again, I don't have anything against moose, but the moose was feeding them, the VFW, and I thank God for our veterans. Can I get an amen on that one? But in my area, let me tell you, the majority of the people who went to the VFW, it was a tavern. And that's basically what it was in my area. It was a tavern. And so these people, and a bar was feeding the football team. And I went to the church and said, why shouldn't our church be feeding the football team? We've got five or six players on the football team that are playing football that go to our church. Why isn't our church feeding them? And so one of the moms there got a hold of the coach, and we fed the football team three times that year. We fed them breakfast, and we had a gathering. And I got to speak at all those breakfasts, just shortly, okay? And that's an amazing thing for me to be able to speak shortly. But I got to share Christ at all three of those breakfasts. And then we fed them pasta before the away game so they could have all the energy when they got out there. And it was a great time. It wasn't long until God began to move in some of those young people's lives. And we had about over half of the football team coming to our church at one time. Why? Because we chose to love them. In the name of Jesus. We chose to reach out to them. Folks, it does not matter where it is and what profession. One of my jobs is to equip you to be able to go out and do that. And not only after the equipping, excuse me, as we look here in this passage of Scripture, we must do the works of Him who sent me while it is day. I think we see here a commissioning. We talked about the empowering, a commissioning. That Jesus was talking to his disciples, and he's talking about being commissioned. He had a mission. Commissioning is to put a stamp on the mission that God's given you. The mission that God has placed in your life. And again, I think some people misunderstood here a few weeks ago when I was talking about missions that they had to sign up and go to Africa. Folks, if God wants you to be in Africa, you need to get up and go. And I just thought of a funny story, but I'll save it for later. It happened to me. I just want you to know, if God's called you to go to Africa, that's where you need to be. But you need to be a missionary. And we need to be able to commission people where they are and where they go. If God's called you and God's placed you in a place right now where there's lots of people around you who don't know Christ, that's your mission field. And we need to commission you and send you out into that mission field saying as an Orchard Church, we're going to commission you and we're going to send you to go into those areas. Again, last night we had people who were getting ready to leave and go camping for the summer. That would be kind of fun, wouldn't it? But if they get ready to go camping for the summer, are they just going to go camping, or are they going to be on camping as campers for Christ? As an on-mission campers. And last weekend during the small group time, I give some information about campers for Christ. How that you and I as the believers here at the Orchard Church need to commission them as they go camping this summer to be on mission where they are. Of the impact that they could have where they are serving and where they're going and enjoying themselves camping. Bruce, I used to get upset. We had people go on vacation in the summertime and our attendance went, and I thought, well, you know what? Why don't these people just be spiritual and stay in church and go on Monday? Folks, I was wrong. I know some of you would never thought that, but I was wrong. I encourage people to go on vacations. I like going on vacation. How many of you like to go on vacation? I don't take a vacation from Jesus, but I like to go on vacation. I usually go to church when I'm on vacation, but I like to take a vacation, and I think all of us need vacations. But I think we don't need to take a vacation from Jesus. Wherever we go on our vacation, we're missionaries. What about people who work in jobs that are tough? I remember a person working in a factory, and it was a hot, nasty job. But this guy worked across, and he came to me, and he said, "Preacher, I just want to quit." I said, "Well, why do you want to quit?" He said, "You just wouldn't believe the people who work around me." I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah." He said, they're just a bunch of heathen." I said, "Well, do you fit?" He didn't know quite how to take that one. I said, "You're a heathen too. You've just been reformed heathen. You've just been a changed heathen." I said, "Could it be that God's placed you where you are to reach the people around you?" Because he was wanting to quit and go on the mission field. I said, "It could be that God's already placed you in the mission field. And if you're not going to be a missionary there, why would you want to be a missionary anywhere else?" You see, we've done an injustice sometimes that we've elevated people. Well, if you're a missionary, you're something special. Well, I want to tell you something, folks. Every one of you are something special. And you need to be commissioned to be a missionary where you are. To impact our world. To impact the lostness of our country. To impact all the people groups that God has sent to our nation. God sent them here for a purpose. God sent them here for a reason. And that's for us to go impact our world. One of the things that, as we look here and being sent out, Jesus said, again, we must do the works of him who sent me. Folks, being sent is very important. Who sent Jesus? The Father. Doing the works of who sent me? Who sent me? Who sent me to Michigan? The Father, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus. Folks, sending is so important. I love this story, and here again another one by Ed Stetzer. Going door to door, a look at the numbers. Now, I love people who tell me what won't work and what will work. I was told several years ago, well, you can't go to northern Illinois and knock on doors. It won't work. When I got ready to come to Michigan, again, I think I told some of you about the phone call that I got just before I got ready to leave to move up here. I had a migraine headache. How many has ever had migraine headaches? I had a migraine headache to the point that I was in bed with a rag over my face and all the lights off and all the windows, stuff put over the windows so I didn't see any light, and I get a phone call. And this phone call was a guy who was a pastor down the road from me. He said, "I heard you're going to Michigan." I said, "Talk a little bit lower." He said, "Yeah." He said, "I want you to know I went to Michigan and I failed, and you probably will too. I just wanted to call and encourage you." Thank you, brother, for the word of encouragement. If I ever need to be discouraged, I'll know who to call. And he said, I failed and I just couldn't do it. Those people are hard up there. Do y'all know you're hard? And he said, they just don't want to hear. They're stiff-necked. And they kept going on and on. I said, you know, thank you, but I've got a headache right now. I really need to get off the phone. And I really don't feel like talking to you right now, but thank you for the word of encouragement. I was told 15 reasons why something won't work. I was in a meeting with a group of preachers not long ago, and one of the guys was going door to door. Every Tuesday night, he was going door to door. And one of the other pastors began to tell him why it wasn't working. I said, stop. I said it a little bit more bluntly. I said, shut up. Just for a second. I said to the other guy, what's happened at your church in the last 3 or 4 months? He said, well, we've baptized 11 or 12. People are coming. Then I said to the other guy, what's happened at your church during that same period of time? He said, nothing. I said, then don't discourage him for going out and doing something. And you know, one of the things when the Orchard began, as we did that first advertising campaign and the blitz, did the blitz with the media, but also we went door to door. Went door to door just inviting people to come to the Orchard. Almost 70% of the people, almost 60% of the people are open and don't mind for somebody coming to their door and inviting them to church. And the other ones are not adamantly opposed to it. Now, there is an adamantly opposed to coming and browbeating them at the door. I mean, it's probably not real wise to walk up to the door and say, hey, you're going to die and go to hell if you don't know Jesus. Probably not the best way to do it. Again, going and people tell me it won't work. Folks, it'll still work. That's just one way. But I believe in inviting friends. 90% of your friends will come if you'll invite them. Probably even more than that if you'll take them out to lunch afterwards. People are waiting for us to be the missionaries that God's called us to be. You're sent. Next Saturday night and Sunday morning, we're going to have commissioning service. We're going to have commissioning service for Jared and for his team that's going to Leland All to plant the church in Leland. We're going to have a commissioning service for him, but also we're going to have a commissioning service for you. If God has placed you in a mission where you are, we want to send you out to be the businessmen and women that God wants you to be. We want to commission you to make an impact in your world. Where you are. Because, folks, the night's coming when you can't work. I am sending you into the world. God's sending you. It's not Brother Ken. It's not me sending you. God's sending you. God wants to make some of you missionaries to your school. God wants to make you missionaries wherever you go. And whenever you go, God sees you as special. And he wants to use you in reaching the kingdom. Our nation needs you. If there's ever a time our nation needs you to stand up, it's right now. To be a witness. And to be a witness is just telling what you know. Do you know, how many of you in here know Jesus as your Savior? Then being a witness is just telling what you know. That's all it is. How many has ever been called to a witness stand in court? And I got up there on that stand and they made me hold up my right hand and said, you promise to be truthful? And I said, yes, I do. And then they began to ask me questions. All I had to do was tell them what I knew. No more, no less. Tell them what I know. Folks, our world is waiting for you to tell them. Our country needs you. As I stood there in 1985, weeping in front of a, I felt like a crybaby. I really did. I felt like a crybaby. But God had so burdened me for the lostness of that area. I want to again roll back to 2008. As I look at Northwest Michigan and Grand Traverse County and Leelanau, and I want you to know my heart's broken because of the lostness that's around us. It's around us wherever we go. I would to God that you would see the lostness, that you would see those who are perishing without Christ. They're your friends. They're your neighbors. Those are your family. D.L. Moody said that I view people as having a big S for saved or an L for lost on their forehead. May you look at the people who are around you, your friends. Do they know Christ? Are they believers? Father,